AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it, cut to it, let's get down to it, cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
I should know it's on.
It's on.
That time.
Insert
Birdman hand rub emoji. It's time for a segment that we do. Why you got the giggles, man?
Because he's Birdman. A dumbass. That's why.
It's time for a big dummy.
You big dummy.
Super duper.
So, of course, we like to either find an article or where we have something that's happened in current events, whether it's whatever.
Just.
But this is one. I'm a North Carolina guy, but something always happens in South Carolina. You can bet your bottom dollar. Sorry, Charlamagne. You can bet your bottom dollar that something happens in South Carolina. So a former state trooper in South Carolina.
Is
accused of inviting a woman over instead of booking her at the county jail after he arrested her on suspicion of a DUI. Now, we're not going to use his name.
And how did they find out that transpired?
So we're not going to use his name, but he was arrested. And booked at the Newberry County Detention Center, the same jail where the alleged misconduct occurred. Surveillance footage from the detention center and this officer's car camera reportedly captured these events from the previous summer.
The red dot's on?
It's live.
Be careful what you say.
Now, according to the arrest warrant, this officer arrested a woman on a DUI charge and took her to the detention center. About an hour northwest of Columbia, South Carolina.
But he took the long way.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But instead of booking her, he asked.
He shot her shot.
He shot his shot. And he said, would you like to go back to my house? Would you like to go back to my crib? However he said it is how he approached her. She reportedly declined the offer. Danae no, my brother. I'm not interested. I'll pass.
Listen, when you are drunk.
Right.
And you're telling someone no.
Uh-huh.
That is a clear indication.
Yeah.
They are not so interested.
So she sidestepped Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Heisman.
Yeah. Yeah. And kept her balance.
Yeah. So she declined the offer. And the police officer drove the woman to his cousin's house where he.
This must be a quote, brother.
Where he, and, got where to he, be where a he brother. Quote, hugged her and complimented her appearance, end quote.
She's sloppy drunk.
Continue. And you're a police officer. And you shot your shot. And she said no.
Yes.
And then you turned into, where my hug at?
Yeah.
Hey, yo, where my hug at?
First of all,
she
I'm handcuffed.
Like you.
I'm handcuffed.
And I'm drunk.
Yes.
Right. I'm off of four of these Incredible Hulks.
<It's> Jägermeister. She had seven Jägermeisters and with like Jaeger goggles.
Long Island iced teas. Like
she did not have sex on the beach. She
I wasn't gonna use that one. Yeah,
she is intoxicated and is telling you no.
So after declining, drove the woman to his cousin's house, hugged her, complimented her. He later texted her back and offered to say, you know what? I'll get your DUI charge dropped if you come back to my crib.
So she told him no, drunk.
Yes.
I wonder what her response is sober.
Hell no.
You know why? Because you are a...
You big dummy.
Big dummy. Come on, bro.
He didn't text her. First of all, he's texting her. So right. That means he went through the paperwork. I mean, that's called stalking.
Yeah. I mean, it don't look like she just gave him the digits.
Uh-uh.
So I'm going to, especially if she already had declined. Mm-hmm. So it's I think it's likely to say that she wasn't interested. So how did you get her number anyway?
Boy.
Yeah. So now the South Carolina Highway Patrol
is
asking the state investigators to investigate this incident. And, yeah, I think pretty much this dude's going to lose his job.
He is going to lose his job. And you know what?
Fired on your day off.
And I'm sorry that happened. I'm extremely sorry that happened. But there is a little bit. You got to accept, okay? Maybe you didn't take the first no.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't take the second no. But the third and fourth?
Sometimes you just got to throw your hand in, man. Yeah. Just throw your hand in. You can't play every hand. Just throw it in.
Goodness gracious. You cannot text someone you arrested.
Well.
To hang. I have multiple questions. The biggest question I have is, why do I want to date someone that was just showed me that they're irresponsible?
She makes pretty bad decisions.
Yes. Oh yeah, I want her to have the children. Right. I want her to be the mother of my children.
I'm not passing judgment. I know plenty of people have done that.
I know plenty of people.
But if I'm in the situation right now, like, oh yeah, her. That's what I'm after.
That's like dating. You're the prosecutor and you date the defendant. For murder.
You know who I want? I want her right there. The one who's sloppy. The one who's sloppy drunk and tried to drive. And hit the car behind her as she was trying to leave out that was trying to parallel park behind her. Yeah. That's who I want.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, she just
I love
just
the way she
up on
flipped
herself,
those
right?
U-turns.
Right? I don't know. She smells like vomit and piss right now. I don't want her. So, anyway.
Hey, her breath smells like Secret 7.
Introducing to you, Sergeant Big Dummy.
You big dummy.
Unemployed. Big dummy. Man. Hey, I hope we got somebody better than him. Who we got?
All right, coming up on the Cut To It podcast, we've got Will Greer, a quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. He's a native of Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was all Big 12 playing for West Virginia University after he left Florida University. Will Greer on the Cut To It podcast.
Is your real name William?
Yes.
Ooh.
William. Will I am.
Ooh.
Stop it.
You said it, not me.
What's your middle name?
Chadwick. William Chadwick. It's a family name. I was the firstborn, so I got the family name.
Willie Chad.
Yeah. William Chadwick Greer.
Yep.
All right, our first segment is called Get Iced Up. They're icebreakers. They're random questions. I have no idea what's coming. Smitty has pre-selected these. So, Smitty, go ahead and give Will the first one.
All right. If they made a movie about your life, who would you want to play Will in the movie?
Matthew McConaughey. Wow. No hesitation.
That was like preloaded.
Right.
Yeah.
You've thought about this
I thought about that shit, yeah.
Okay.
Then I thought about this shit.
So... how would such a great actor play such a non-speaking role in a movie?
Oh, damn.
A non-speaking role?
Yeah.
Damn. What you mean? Because I don't talk?
No.
You from Charlotte.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. My birth certificate has Charlotte on it, too.
No,
you
from
say?
Lexington. Shut up.
My birth
up.
Certificate has Charlotte.
I'm sorry. Lexington, also known as?
Las Vegas.
Yeah,
there you go.
Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
He's from Charlotte.
Yeah. I swear to God.
He's from Charlotte. How is he not supposed to know where his third of Come on. No, right.
You know, I have final editing. So keep
That's
on dapping him up. No, that was
it's
a promise.
I knew where you were going.
All right, nah, I'm just joking.
Matthew McConaughey.
So, we need you to sing any verse of Hail West Virginia.
Hail West, the fight song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's West Virginia. It's West Virginia. The pride of every mountaineer. Oh. Come on, you young lads. Come on, you old grads. It's West Virginia. Now we cheer. Rah, rah, rah.
He got part of it.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Into the first verse. It's into the first verse. See?
I know
it's
right.
You at down yonder at the bottom.
Listen, I won a lot of games at West Virginia. We sang that song every time we won.
Big flex.
West Virginia is not a big flex.
He won games.
We won a lot of games.
Speaking of West Virginia, can you pull up our fellow West Virginia alumni who rated himself.
I know where you're going.
Who rated himself.
Did you see that?
No.
What Tavon Austin posted about the top 10 college football players.
He rated himself?
Oh.
He said he was Tavon
Austin. No. Read the tweet. Let's.
I have to find the picture. I don't
Tavon
have
Austin
like
rated himself as the top. He rated the top 10 best.
Most exciting
college football players.
Okay.
Would you like to hear some of the people he had?
Keep padding. I got to find it.
He had some. Where would do you think Braxton Miller is on that list?
Of all time.
Yes. Of college players. Is that like he's high on the list or that's a tough question because he's in the football fraternity, and I don't want to.
I like the way Braxton Miller plays football. I don't think he's in the top 10 most exciting.
All right, I'll give you the list. I got the list now.
But yeah, you're absolutely wrong.
I'll go first.
I think that's it.
We're going to count down 10 to 1. All right.
All right.
Number 10, this is Tavon Austin's list.
Okay.
Number 10, Jabril Peppers. All right. Yeah.
This is a pretty like. Is this like in the last couple decades or of all time?
This is all time.
All time. Yeah. All time.
All time, bro. All time. Number 10, Jabril. Oh, buckle up. Number 9, Michael Vick.
Okay. Number 9. I like that.
Number 9.
No, I like that he's in the top 10. No, that's respect. No, he's up there though. He's
number. Hold on. He's a step ahead of Jabril Peppers.
Yeah. For context's sake.
Step. Yeah. He just ran a 4.27 as a 42-year-old man, and he's barely a step above a guy who cannot run a 4.27 in his 20s.
Yeah.
Michael Vick is my favorite football player of all time.
Okay.
Agreed.
I love Tavon Austin. Yeah. I already don't like this list.
Okay. Oh, well, you just get ready, bro. Number 8, Peter Ward. He's on the list.
Peter Ward is still two steps
above Jabril
Peppers.
Number 7.
And a step above Michael Vick.
Michael Vick. Yeah, okay. I don't agree with that.
Number 7, Braxton Miller. Two steps
and in front of Michael Vick.
Mike Vick.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Number 6, Lamar Jackson.
I like Lamar. He's in there, man. He was electric in college. Yes. He deserves to be in the top 10. I agree with that.
Number 5.
On the same list as Jabril Peppers. But continue.
Number 5, Johnny Manziel.
He was exciting for
a year. He was exciting.
No, he's not more. I
don't
like the order.
I would rather have Tim Tebow on this list.
Johnny Football is my guy, though, man.
He could be your guy.
In the context of exciting, he was exciting.
All time.
It's exciting.
All time. Is greatness.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel is not great.
On the exciting
now,
list.
Yeah, we ain't saying the only thing I will say about this, we ain't saying the best plays all time.
I didn't say
exciting.
Best.
Yeah.
in any list that there's 1 through 10,
yeah.
Johnny Manziel is not on my 10.
All right,
when you talk about all time of anything.
Okay, number. That's fair.
And especially when we talk about all time and we're rating them in order.
Or, yes.
That is a different thing. Number 4, your teammate, Christian McCaffrey.
Exciting.
Yes. Yep. Continue.
Number 3, Saquon Barkley. All time.
Keep going.
Number 2, on the list of most exciting college football players of all time, number 2 is Tavon Austin.
Mr. Gadget himself.
Yeah. Who's number 1?
Number 1 is Reggie Bush. Okay. Which I think we can all agree on.
Oh, right? Yeah, 100%.
Like you can argue that. Number 2 is Tavon Austin.
So there's Reggie Bush.
Tavon Austin, number 2.
So here it is. Reggie Bush, Lambo. Bentley, Tavon Austin. No. No, no, yeah. No.
Yeah.
I'll say this. He made the list.
He made the list. That's the that's
he made. No, he made his own list. That is his list.
Yeah.
So we after this banter, we discovered
it was his.
It was his list.
Because it was trending on social media, like it was on ESPN and all this stuff. And I'm looking in the corner. I'm like, wait a minute. Source: Tavon Austin. It was on his social media. Like, bro, how you gonna do that?
I love it. I love Tavon Austin. Number 1. I think he's. I think he was one of the more electrifying players
ever in
college. I mean, he did some. Look, mm-hmm. whatever he did in the pros, whatever he's a hero in West Virginia.
Oh God,
yeah.
He's a hero.
He should be.
He made the list. If I made a list, I'd put myself up high too. You know what I mean? Like you gotta have.
He didn't put himself up high.
Yeah, I mean, you put yourself.
He was at the mountaintop, and that brother's at.
Yeah, he on the Mount Rushmore.
That brother at the tip. That's why I said at the tip. No. No.
All I'm saying is I respect the confidence.
I don't. Not one iota. Nope. If he was sitting right here, I'd tell him, absolutely not.
That's hilarious.
I'm not going to slander my West Virginia.
No, we're not expecting you to.
I don't agree with. I'll say that.
First of all, I'm not slandering. I'm just stating when I hear all time.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Tavon Austin. Is not on list. Bryce. Johnny Manziel and Braxton Miller. And here's why. I'm not even on the list when you're talking about a guy like Peter Warwick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson. Austin. Yeah.
I will say, when you talk about most exciting, I mean, what Tavon did against Oklahoma, like, put up 500-something all-purpose yards.
I didn't watch. I really did.
The guy's exciting from a return. Like every time he was back returning a kick,
I really didn't
something could happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? It had that Devin Hester feel of like he could break anyone. He did.
Whoa.
And Devin Hester's on that list.
He actually should be on that list.
He should be on that list.
See, now you're barking up my tree.
Yeah.
Devin Hester should be on that
list. And we didn't even talk about that last time.
So Devin Hester was outstanding in college. And it transferred to.
He was also outstanding
in the pros.
In the league, yes.
Tavon was outstanding in college. Watch him in the pros. Still waiting on it. And my clock is fast.
We're only going off college football, bro.
It's still fast. Are we moving on?
I can't.
Are we? Yes?
We can move on.
Okay, cool. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right, number 3. Give us one thing that you are afraid of or scared of.
I hate snakes.
Really?
If I'm walking around outside, even in like a backyard that probably never had a snake in it, I look around for snakes.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm scared. I'm terrified of snakes. Not spiders, though. Some people like.
Are
everybody
you sure?
Everybody's
you're not scared of spiders.
Yeah, yeah no. I'm
because
not.
You went to spiders real quick and looked around like you had some
spiders. Though.
No, but here's my thing.
Unless you got a damn spider.
You said it like we said spiders, not spiders, huh?
No.
I was like,
right.
Okay.
No, but the reason I said that though is because most people say that spiders are like scarier or they're more scared of spiders than they are of snakes, and I totally disagree.
Okay. All right.
You never. People always say they're scared of spiders. I don't know why they say they're scared of spiders. I'm not scared of spiders.
Heights. That's a
I'm not scared of heights.
I don't do heights.
I don't like heights.
Do you get shaky?
No, I just don't go.
You just don't.
I don't know to go. I don't know to get shaky.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, hey, that's no. I'm
like good. how high does it start to like? I'm not.
I don't
that.
Go.
Yeah,
but like what? Like so? Like you don't? So you don't get on a ladder? Like if you?
Yeah, I get on a ladder.
You don't want to go to? The
but
top
I'm
of,
not
like,
getting on a ladder to go up on a
Sears Tower.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm not like a huge. Like my house is a huge, but I can get on the roof.
Yeah,
and you're cool.
I'm cool.
Okay. So it's like, but you won't go on the like the tour of the Empire State Building. Like you, you're not interested
that.
In going
I
there.
I wouldn't do that. No.
Mm-mm. I've been there. I've taken the elevator. I look out on the edge.
Ouch. Okay. No need to.
Exactly. Why do I
feel
need to look down?
I don't need to go on the edge of nothing.
Yeah, I'm straight. Now it's different where they have cages. They have the stuff so you don't look over there because some people have attempted to do some things that are not very good. All right, so last one, and I think this is really interesting. Would you rather lose your front tooth or shave your head?
Oh, shave my head all day.
Wow.
All day.
I would have thought you wanted to. You wouldn't want to.
I get why you think that.
Why? Why?
Because I got long hair. Like I've been growing my hair for like 2 years now. But I'd 100% rather shave my head.
Why? What would losing your tooth do?
I don't know that it would do. Like, what can we replace it? Like, what's the like?
No. I mean, it's
straight lose your fronts.
I mean, like, it's your ugliness. However you want to fix it.
I mean, all right. I'll say this.
Look,
I wouldn't mind having a buzz cut at all. I would mind if I had to walk around without a front tooth.
It mess up your whole spiel, huh?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be
so
how
if
you
lost
that to the wife,
if you lost your tooth, how confident would the whole beard and hair thing go?
If I lost my tooth, it's not.
It would just mess it all up. Huh?
Yeah, the whole thing, like the smile, everything, the confidence. Like
he'd be a lineman.
That Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, you'd have to be a lineman or a hockey player. Like you don't see hockey players that like out, you know, on movies
so
and stuff.
The whole number five. We don't even have a five. If you could not be a quarterback, could you still play football?
That I've thought about this. It's a tough. Like so. Actually, David Sills, one of my receivers at West Virginia, was a quarterback.
Oh, I don't know who he is either.
He was a quarterback up until when he came back.
Sly
first
flex.
Year playing receiver. Seriously, first year playing, he was a quarterback his whole life, came back, played receiver, and caught like 25 touchdowns.
Who threw it to him?
Me.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah, humble brag.
Yeah. We call him Flex.
And he plays.
Slight Flex. Just one.
He's with the Giants now. At least he's on the active roster and stuff like that. So, and he made, and now he's, granted, he's probably a better athlete than I am.
Uh-huh.
But he had never played receiver ever and was able to make that switch.
We have to take a break, and more than anything, we got to pay some bills.
Mm-hmm. Need that check.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. cuttoitpodcast.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real steaks, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Did you always know you wanted to play quarterback?
No, so I, yes, in a way. I also played basketball and baseball growing up. I loved both
positions.
Basketball as a shooting guard.
Okay.
And then in baseball, I jumped around, played shortstop, center field, first base. I was a catcher. Mm. I was a pitcher.
Did you play those prior to football?
I played it all kind of together. Yeah. So I started playing football when I was like seven. I loved football. As I got older, I got my first offers in football. So
to where?
East Carolina was my first offer ever. Oh, sophomore year, and then it kind of took off after that. But that was like my first. That's when I started. Those are my first offers. So I, you know, kind of committed to football after that. I had played other positions. I played safety growing up and stuff like that. But when it came down to like what I was going to play in college, I mean, quarterback was the only shot I had.
You weren't fast?
No, I was fast. I was a really good athlete, but I was the quarterback of my team. I never practiced playing receiver or anything else. So, it would have, and I probably could have made the switch then and done something.
But now it's too late.
It got too late in college for sure. I mean,
all your fast switches left. Man. All right, let's get down to it. All right, so where are you from and the place you call your hometown?
So, I was born in Charlotte, UNCC. I lived up north, about 20 minutes north of here, kind of moved around a lot. My parents were divorced, so I lived with my mom most of the time, and my dad kind of got more custody as we got older, so I bounced back and forth. But they moved a bunch. So I kind of say Charlotte just to generalize it because I didn't live in one place for more than, three. I think I lived in Davidson for 3 years with my mom. That was probably the longest I ever lived in one place.
How did that really shape your view on the world? Because Charlotte has grown so much, right? I know it's changed my view of the world, when I first moved here in 2001 compared to now 2021. Charlotte is a whole different place. Downtown, uptown is considered. Actually, it's ever-changing.
I have some family that's from Charlotte, too.
Oh, my dad. You got a lot of family. We're going to talk about that because I always run into people. I run into Will Greer family folk.
Yeah.
I'm like,
the Greers are legendary.
Yeah.
Charlotte.
Oh, I know. That's my nephew.
Yeah.
A lot of my family's been here a long time, so they've seen it even more drastically. I mean, I got my dad's uncle, is 66 years old. Was born in Charlotte and has been here for 66 years.
Wow.
So you talk about like the growth. Like he was here when Tryon was a dirt road.
Yeah.
And there was no uptown Charlotte.
No. Yeah.
It was not the place you see today.
I mean that's the thing. Like even my dad, you know, was born and raised in Charlotte. He lived kind of over by the YMCA in Carmel. I mean now Carmel's like this, you know, super nice neighborhood and everything. But he'll drive around and, I mean, even more so than me. So, I mean, I was here 20 years ago. I'd come down to the city or whatever and drive around. And, I mean, it's South End. To see what it is now, just for me, But my dad, for my dad, it's like the neighborhoods. Like you see the houses. Like the, I mean, they're just knocking down houses and building million-dollar houses everywhere around, like surrounding the city. And just it's like it was neighborhoods that he grew up like riding his bike in. You know what I mean?
So playing stickball, playing football,
And to see just the, I mean, just the traffic alone. The roads, the stores, the everything that's like grown around the city even is like so different than it was 20 years ago.
So, you know, just in that aspect, you growing up and seeing this place grow, and obviously growing up, when were you born?
95.
So 95, when it was just a thought of a football team, and then possibly going to the games, and then eventually now participating in that game, in those games, and being in that jersey. What is it like for you?
Yeah, so it's crazy. So
but it, put more emotions on the crazy part.
Cuz it's not often that someone grows up in the city they end up playing in.
Yeah.
Like it's not normal.
Well, I mean, when I was coming out of the draft, Carolina wasn't even on my radar. Like I mean, I was one of the like top guys, so I was, you know, thinking of the quarterback needy teams and like who's like in the teams I'm meeting with or whatever. And as I started to fall in the draft, and Carolina just picked me up because of value. Like they just picked me based on, you know, they didn't need a quarterback. I mean, Cam was here, they had Kyle coming back, whatever. So it was, I was kind of surprising, but when I, you know, it didn't really sink in until I put the practice jersey on and went out to their practice field, and I was like, because it wasn't on my mind to come here at all. You know, I was going to play football, you know, somewhere.
You were going to a job.
Yeah, to play football. And then when I came here, it made it like this whole, like, you know, hometown thing. Like, I'm looking for a place to live in my hometown.
Yeah.
You know,
and then, you know all the little nicks and crannies.
Yeah.
You over there like,
and everybody knows them, right?
Yeah.
As much success you had. And
families all here. I mean, like, my family has gotten to watch my kids, you know, grow up. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that I don't know if I would have had if I went somewhere else. And, you know, that's been really cool. But it was never – I never related the, like, NFL to playing for Carolina. It wasn't like a thing that I ever, like, I guess, wanted or tried to manifest.
So you obviously watched a game or two in your, you know, when you were younger. And then – that first time you're dressed, you know, not necessarily playing, but just dressed, or you out at training camp at Wofford, and then you're out at Fan Fest, and you're out there practicing, and now this time instead of watching and observing, you are a participant. How was that?
You have to kind of, I had to kind of almost block that child. Like,
why?
Because I had to perform. Like, I quickly would like go there and be like, damn, this is cool. Like, I you know, this, you're right. Like, I would grow up, you know, I've watched you catch that post in 2003 against the Rams in the playoffs.
Okay. I was like,
yeah, those skinny posts is nice. Yeah. You scored with it.
Appreciate that.
And then I, like, my, I even went to a couple Panther games and, like, sat in the stadium when I was younger growing up just because I played football. My dad knew I liked to play football. It took me to games, whatever. So I would, like, even in the stadium, like, I can look up and see where I sat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I'll do that real quick.
What seat was it?
Refocus. It's in section 229.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's, like, right above the...
Right above the handicap.
Yeah. But it's all the way, it's all the way up. So it's under the...
second/third level.
Yeah.
Right. So you got the suites and it's right there on the cusp right there before you go to the nosebleed.
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking is I got an opportunity to play in Candlestick, right? Being a 49ers fan. Mm-hmm. Never got the chance to sit in Candlestick, but just to be there and go through it, I remember the first time my rookie year, we played San Francisco at Candlestick, and it was awesome. But I sat in the moment.
I was gonna say, did you do what Will
did
and
not
checked out? You didn't try to check out?
No, I was like, man, I'm playing Morton Hanks.
Yeah.
Right. I lived that moment because for us, they end up leaving.
They end up, you know, them on a place two, 3 years later. And then they moved to the NFC West. No, we moved to the NFC South. Because I was still in the NFC West, where it was Rams, Carolina, Atlanta, and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And then San Francisco left. Tampa filled that void, and they realigned. So I didn't block it out. I actually sat in it, and it was really, really cool.
I've done it a few times. Like I said, like if I'm when I go out to like play or practice, I have to like I have to block everything out and just lock in on the game. Just because it's whatever is going on in my head, like I need full. I block everything out and just I'm on the field. Like that's just the way I've always played is like I'm in between those lines. I'm all
I know,
football, but I'm saying
you gotta live that because it'll help you actually be a little freer.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And you need to actually think about it and actually will tighten you up. So you can go out there and you can start out did you ever go to a practice?
I did.
Okay.
My mom took me down to Wofford.
All right. So who was the quarterback? At that time,
Jake DeLome.
All right. He was out there throwing a pass to somebody you may know. So if he's out there throwing that pass, it was nice. And then that wide receiver went up and get it, right? Mm-hmm. So why can't you mimic that, right? So you still have that little boy inside of you that you go, I'm gonna be gunslinger Jake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me throw it to my guy. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you're just throwing it, and now it's less of a job.
Yeah.
No, now it becomes you just kind of you're playing with house money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think there's a balance in that. Like, I think that I could be better at living in the moment and being more loose and playing, like, having that childlike –
It's still a game now. You still go out there. You still go out there and sling it, and receiver go out there and try to make that one-handed catch or that that impossible.
You got to have a little bit of that for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Because you got to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that was one thing I always did in practice. I would catch a ball a certain way just to let me see if I could try this. Like I'll let a ball if I'm going on a deep over, and the quarterback throws and leads me. I would let the ball go over my head and I catch it. Right there.
Yeah.
To where in the game where I had to concentrate, I know that guy's going to hit me. But if I'm doing this, I'm going to drop it. But now if it goes over there, bang, I'll just right there. Now he comes to hit me. Whoop, ball's right there.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of living that childhood.
Yeah.
So speaking of childhood, how would you summarize the way that your childhood affected you as an adult right now?
I think the main – when I think back to, like, my childhood – it was surrounded by sports. Like I grew up playing football, basketball, baseball. I just loved to compete. It's what I did. So I most of my childhood memories are me sitting at AAU tournaments, basketball, baseball, whatever it may be, and playing ball. And I think that I learned so much of my life skills from being on a team, playing sports. That kind of got me away from doing anything else on the weekends because I filled my schedule up with tournaments and games and practices, and I just wanted to be great at whatever I was doing. Like I was, you know, practicing my left hand with basketball or like hitting balls in the cage or whatever the sport was. Like I was just all in and just focusing on that. And I think now that I'm kind of in the professional field or like now it's more of a business, I've started to kind of, you know, peel back the layers of like what's outside of sports, right? You know, because I feel like I lacked a lot of that growing up. Like I was so, I guess, focused on sports that I wasn't opening my eyes to the rest of life and the world. So I think the past, as an adult, you know, and especially having kids, you know, I've kind of started to, you know, see life for what it is and see kind of where I fit in or what I truly care about other than just football.
So do you feel like you missed something?
I don't feel like I think miss something is fair, but I think it's more so just like I wasn't as in tune with just, I was just, I, like I said, like I kind of, bla- I just, yeah. you know, block everything straight else tunnel out vision. Yeah. And play sports because I didn't want to. I didn't want to deal with that, or maybe like something was going on and like I didn't like it, so I'm just gonna block it out. And I think I did that so much in my childhood that I maybe missed out on experiences or opportunities to, you know, get creative or see what else that I may have liked other than sports because I was just so hyper focused on it. But I think as an adult now I have an opportunity. And especially with my kids, to kind of explore childhood again and do some things that, you know, not that I didn't have an opportunity to do, but I didn't really take advantage of when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm definitely an overthinker.
Quarterbacks.
I'm definitely an overthinker. But that is something that, like, I wish, and I think having kids is really what brought it to my, like, I want my kids to just, like, explore, do things. Like that's, I wish I would have done more of that, I guess, and let my emotions, like, don't block out sadness, don't block out anger, like, just feel it, address it. Like, those are the kind of things that my whole childhood I, like, just blocked out, and I think it's healthy to experience those things.
So playing multiple sports growing up and your dad being your football coach, how was that?
Interesting. We got
Do tell.
Yeah. No, we
helicopter dad?
No, not really. I mean, especially since, you know, my parents were divorced, I lived with both of them. He wasn't a helicopter dad or overbearing or anything like that. But he was my football coach, and we butt heads a lot because I think, you know, we're similar in a lot of ways.
Really?
We're both very passionate, right? Especially about football. So as, you know, the coach quarterback, he's calling plays, I'm the quarterback. There's generally things that we would just, you
disagree
know,
on?
Yeah, disagree, butt heads all the time, especially.
How, when you say disagree, how does a disagreement between a father and son
how do you separate
and a
that?
Head coach and quarterback?
Please,
please explain that to me, because
I just got to make the dinner table interesting.
Damn, the dinner table to walk home, the ride home,
everything.
How should I say it? His ride home, your walk home.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it was definitely, you know, an interesting dynamic. I think he handled it really well. I think I handled it poorly a lot more than he did.
Why do you think that?
Just because the way that I would. I was dismissive sometimes to him as a coach, but him also as a father made it tough on our father-son relationship. And I think our relationship's great now, by the way. Like I think that experience kind of made our relationship even stronger when I was an adult and playing somewhere else. And really, he was being really tough on me and hard on me to prepare me for college, in his mind. You know, he was going to beat me to the ground, you know, like really be as tough as possible on me in every aspect to make me better. That's kind of how he was raised and how he wanted to raise me. And I kind of saw it as not that in high school.
How'd you see it?
Did you
see it as he was picking on you?
Not necessarily that. I just think it was, I saw it as, you know, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing what you taught. Like even when he was wrong, he wouldn't admit he was wrong. And because he wanted me to just say yes, sir, and move on. Mm-hmm. And as him being my father, I wanted to just talk to him and be like, no, you're wrong. Let me tell you my perspective of this or whatever. But he was trying to be the coach that's like, I don't want you to come to me with excuses. I don't want you to come to me with any of that. Like just yes, sir, and move on, do it right the next time. And I think that was the toughest part of the relationship aspect because, you know, I think it when you go home and it's your dad, it's very different than when he's out there on the field. And I think when I was done playing for him, I realized what he was trying to do. But in the moment, even if he's telling me that,
let me play this out. You want to explain to the head coach and who happens to be your father, and he didn't want to listen to it. So then you go down to college, and now the coach that is giving you instruction, who is not your dad.
And you can't be dismissive.
And you can't be dismissive, and you still can't debate with them. Mm-hmm. How did that work out for you?
I felt as prepared as I could be. When I went to Florida, I was was Will Muschamp was the head coach, and he's known to be fiery and passionate, yep, yell at people or whatever. And none of that fazed me at all. I mean, I was for whatever. I think
you're used to it at that point.
Yeah, I think that it really
for whatever reason. No, it's a reason.
No, I was just,
yeah, you don't want to give him credit. Oh, it's a reason.
No. If I was saying for whatever it's worth, I think I think he like. I think what. Was he over the top sometimes? If you ask my uncles, yes.
Who,
my dad.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was about to say Wells. Yeah. Like you asked.
No, I think he did, you know, and he'd tell you. I think sometimes he crossed the line. Nothing crazy, right? Yeah. And it wasn't all. But I do think that it prepared me for college and for life. And
so,
I see
so
that.
So coming out of college, you signed with
Florida.
Florida.
Yep.
And what years were that?
That was 2014 and 15.
And then how'd that work out?
So I redshirted my first year.
Who's the quarterbacks?
Jeff Driscoll and Jacoby transferred the year I came in, Brissett.
Okay.
So it's Jeff Driscoll, and then me and Treon Harris came in the same year.
Okay.
So 2014, I redshirted. Muschamp got fired after the South Carolina game. We didn't have a good year.
Mm-hmm.
So he got fired. They brought in Jim McElwain. Doug Nussmeier was the OC. Coming in 2015, me and Treon were competing for the starting job in 2015, competed all the way through camp up until the first game. We split time in the first game of the year. And then I got the nod for the next five games after that. I guess I kind of won the competition in that game. And we were rolling 6-0, like, we beat Ole Miss the week after they beat Alabama. They were like number three in the country. Mm-hmm. We were ranked super high. Our defense was super good. Like we had a shot to
and
go
then,
win. And then I got suspended.
I think it's about that time. Just take a little breather.
Cut to it. Let's get down to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from CutToItPodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
So I got suspended for a year for PEDs, performance enhancing drugs. And I, to this day,
yes,
don't know where it came from.
Okay. I didn't know. So that's why I was like,
yeah. So the way it went, no, the way it went is I came, Coach Matt called me into his office one day. He's like, you failed a drug test. And I was blindsided. I was like, for what? Like I,
you're like, man, I took that golden seal. What are you talking about?
So I came in and did
Rick told me at GNC, I'm a god.
Yeah, you can't trust any, especially back then.
Yeah, like, you can't trust GNC, Rick at the GNC.
Yeah, not the GNC guy. They always try to upsell you.
Hey, some stuff golden seal would clean everything out.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was. I was young.
Yeah.
I didn't even know
what you took.
That I didn't know that that was even like when I thought PEDs, I'm thinking like steroids.
Yeah,
or something.
You go straight to the top. Right.
Yeah, so I didn't know like
that could be cough medicine now.
Yeah right. I mean it's crazy. And like I at the time, like I said, I was just young and I had no idea. So yeah. I go do that press conference and I'm, you know, and it was a year suspension. So right after it happened, Coach Mack was like, just get out of the building, figure out, because we were going to appeal it because, you know, we're going to try to wipe it. I didn't think I did anything wrong or whatever, see what's going on. During the appeal process, he didn't want me in the building. He thought I was a distraction. So I was living in Gainesville, but I wasn't allowed to come in to the football building during this appeal process. He didn't, like I said, want me to be a distraction.
So did you feel like, how long did it take you to figure out something was going on?
Shortly thereafter.
It was short.
A couple weeks. I mean, I was so focused on the appeal or whatever, and then I kind of took a step back and was talking with my dad, talking with some people, and it was weird. They didn't want me around.
Yeah.
Especially as a leader of the team. I mean, yeah.
For somebody they supported.
Yeah. You know, and I kind of got the hint. I went in and met with him two more times and was like, look, man, I'm going to serve the suspension, like, you know, whatever it is. Like, I may get this appealed. Like, I don't know what it's going to be, but then I want to be right back. Like, I'll do whatever I got to do to earn my spot. And he was like, I think a fresh start would be good for you.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, so he...
And so he tells you a fresh start. What's going on? Going on with little Chadwick's head?
So I think, honestly, like, I had never...
I've got a good memory.
I never wanted to leave Florida. I loved the school. I you know, wanted to be there my whole career. That was kind of like the harsh reality was that was my head coach. And like, I think honestly, when I think about it, I think he was thinking of my best interest. I don't know, and I may be thinking, you know, glass half full here, but I truly think he was trying to help me and saying that, like, he could have just told me to stay, right? Compete for the job and then never, you know, really let me have it, like, when it came down to it.
Do you believe because of what happened, it was kind of one of those things where it was a stain?
I think, yes, I think that. And I think also that he didn't want – I think it was for sure there was some politics surrounding it. In my mind, like, he didn't want – even if I serve the suspension and come back, and I don't think it's – it would have been tough to put me back in that in that starting role after given what had happened, even though it was an accident. Even though, I didn't, you know, kill somebody or hurt any, like, but it was a stain for sure. Yeah, so he gave me a list of schools that I couldn't transfer to.
Glad you could.
Or that I could transfer to.
Oh.
He gave you a list?
Yeah, of, like, these you can't go. So I couldn't go anywhere in the SEC.
He said that?
Yeah, he printed out a list.
Wow.
So he told you the schools?
Here's where you can go.
Here's where,
but this was back when you could do that.
oh, because they had to.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
This was back. So he gave me a piece of paper like this.
Yeah.
And it had like I couldn't go anywhere in the SEC or like anybody that was on the schedule the next year or something like that, which was normal at the time. Like you just, you know, I think
it's amazing he had that paper on hand though.
So I don't know if it was on it.
I'm just like if he pissed,
he's trying to be helpful.
And while we're here, but, but maybe this is where we're starting to go. But that situation being labeled as a stain, quote unquote, or you being called a distraction, and of course you having to go through a suspension. How do you deal with that mentally?
Yeah, it was
when
a lot.
That's probably not your MO.
Yeah,
as a person.
No, it was a lot because it didn't represent who I am. Like I stay out of trouble in every way. I mean, I keep my nose very clean, and that was a stain to the public eye, but it was a huge stain on myself mentally. Like I had like messed up for the first time in my life. I mean, I'm talking about
You didn't even know what you messed up on. Because people don't even realize PEDs isn't necessary. I mean, you could.
It's a wide range of stuff.
It's cough medicine.
Yeah.
Right? It's certain, even to the point of certain aspirins. Mm. Like, there's certain aspirins that you can't take.
Yeah. You got to be. And, you know, I think it's talked about more now than it was when I was that age. But. Yeah. You have to, as an athlete, you're responsible. Like, so
I wonder how was the coverage on you impacting you mentally?
I think what impacted me the most was that I had messed up, like that it was all happening and it was my fault. Like, there was nobody else to blame. Mm-hmm. You know, it was ignorance, but it was still.
No, when you go back, what do you think it was that you took?
I was taking other guys' pre-workout in the locker room. I was taking, like,
I mean, you were a typical college kid.
Yeah.
Even in the pros, they're like, hey, I'm done. I'm blown spark.
So much stuff in pre-workout.
Well, that's exactly what it was. It was just like a, you know.
Got that onyx.
So, Will, I mean, you've had to deal with a lot in a short career. How do you deal with the adversity in college and now even going into your program? How do you deal with just adversity overall?
Yeah, I think the adversity has made me better in all aspects. I mean, I don't seek out adversity. Like, I don't wake up and say, like, hey, what can I do to make my life
better? It's funny how that works out. You never go seeking for it, right?
But
there's some stupid ass people out there.
Let me go find me some adversity today.
But
there's some dummies.
But I will say that the leaps and bounds of growth in my career have always come when adversity happens, not at the top. You know what I mean? I think you're still growing, but I think when that adversity happens, like, I've handled it in different ways, but as you figure it out and as you get through it, that's when I've made the biggest leaps in my development on and off the field. In my mind, like I said, I don't seek adversity, but I appreciate it.
All right, our last segment is called Deep Three. Is Smitty?
Deep Three. Okay, first one. Really, you know, what are you thankful for? The way you were raised, you know, obviously you spoke about the divorce between your parents, but being a father now, what is something that your parents, even though they were divorced, they gave you something that gave you a great outlook on being a parent?
Yeah, I think they both loved me unconditionally through anything. Like, both of them separately were over the top about that. Like,
wow.
Like, they always, like, you know, care for me, like,
that's special, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
To go through a divorce and be able to separate
them and us.
Yeah, but still love on the kids, man. That's,
no doubt. They both were champions at that, and that's why we have such good relationships, me and my brothers, with my mom and my dad. Still is because of that, I believe. But I think from a parenting perspective, having my own kids, they both got remarried and are in healthy marriages now, which is super cool to see, actually. Like, you know, them, you know, they were married, had us, they got divorced, but then they found somebody else and were able to be in a healthy marriage. So it wasn't, they weren't right for each other, but neither of them clearly aren't, you know, they haven't had problems with the relationship since then. So I think it was, you know, cool to watch both of them be in another relationship. And both of my step-parents were awesome as well.
Wow.
I mean, we really, you know, I appreciated the way the entire situation was handled, although it was a bad situation. Like, they were always really respectful of separating all that was going on and us. And I think what it taught me, some of what not to do in a relationship, especially with young kids, just from the, you know, with when my parents were together when I was younger. But I also think it taught me, like, you know, in that, you know, how to, you know, treat your wife in front of your kids, right? How to treat, for me, you know, like, the different things you kind of pick up on naturally. I think that they were, you know, my mom and my dad both were always in front of us, respectful of each other. And I think that, you know, that was, you know, really cool of them and helped, you know, my parenting skills.
What's the most important thing that your dad taught you off the field?
I think just overall respect. I think he was big on respect. Everybody, janitor to the CEO, like the old saying they say. I mean, so much so that I don't even see it that way. Like I just see everybody
as in equal. It's like second nature to you.
Yeah, it's just second nature. Like I just have a respect for every being, animal, human, anything. I mean, I respect everybody for any situation they come from, and especially if you don't know it, I have respect for whatever that yeah. situation is. I think, you know, that's the biggest thing that he always instilled. Like, you know, it used to be yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And that's not as cool or as popular today. But that kind of bled into the respect for everybody thing. And that's, you know, that was, you know, his biggest thing was even, I mean, on the field too, but especially off the field, just respect.
Now with your career where it is, you know, just trying to, you know, obviously trying to make it and trying to figure things out. Whatever impact you have on the field, that's fantastic. You know, what impact do you want to have off the field?
I think any kind of positive impact I can make on any, because I don't have a specific foundation yet. I'm actually meeting with somebody after this that she runs a group called See Her Lead, and it's a group for you know, basically middle school, high school girls. It's a leadership summit. They have, you know, weeks, they have lessons, they do camps, they do it's a super cool organization that she set up. She actually taught ninth grade English to me.
Oh wow.
And we connected and started talking about this her program and how she's growing it and how I can get involved and help. And you know, so I love the idea of that, having two daughters. That kind of hits close to home for me. But I think in general, like I, there's different things that I've experienced through my life that I want to, you know, be a part of. But I really am still trying to narrow down, and because instead of trying to do everything a little bit, I want to have a lasting impact on one thing. And it's been tough, honestly, to kind of, you know, put all my eggs in one or two baskets. And I feel like that's something I seek guidance on is, you know, how can I, you know, because I want to do the right, I want to do different things, but how can I do, what's the right thing to do, I guess. And I think that's, I feel so strongly about so many different issues and so many different things that are happening in this world, especially they're highlighted when you have kids. And, you know, so many different things that I want to do or change. And obviously I can't do them all. So I really am in that place where I'm trying to figure out what is the best way to go about it, what's the best thing to do without just, you know, shouting out everything and probably getting diluted in the in the wash. And I think that's the art I'm trying to figure out now. But I do think the See Her Lead thing was kind of brought to me. I think it was meant to be. You know, it's a super cool thing, and I don't know quite how involved I'm going to be yet, but I love the idea of it. And she's great at operating it on her own, so she doesn't necessarily need me. So I'm just going to be there to support and make it as good as possible. And I'm excited to kind of watch that grow. So
that's cool. Yeah. You know, not knowing what you want to do, that's actually a great place to be, right? And it'll evolve, it'll grow as your family grows, as you grow as a dad, as you grow as a person, just trying to decide on how, what, and where. Yeah. So just allow that time of not knowing. That's a healthy place to be.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want to be is a young man who has all the answers, right? I was that's who I was at times, and that didn't serve me well because I wasn't able to listen to other people around me or listen to someone with a fresher perspective.
Yeah, just a different perspective.
Yeah, and you're kind of like, man, okay, move on out the way. So that's good. That don't take you lacking knowing where to go as something negative. Take that as something good, because that means you can.
You got time to shape it now.
Yeah, you got time to shape it, and you may not.
Well, I want to learn. I think that's important. Is like I want to, you know, continue to learn and hear different perspectives and figure out, you know. And I think great things are done in teams. I believe that. You know, I think.
Absolutely.
you know, I don't want to do anything alone. Not because I don't think I can do it, but I think there's a better product when you get different perspectives and different minds in one room and produce something. So still kind of building that team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good, man.
Well, man, we appreciate you coming by.
This was good chatting.
I had a blast, man. Yeah. It was fun.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr. That is me. Is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Labreck, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
'Cause you know it's on.
It's on.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.